morning, good afternoon, good evening, Power Hour Nation, wherever you may be, from sea to shining sea, from the shores to the shores, beyond the shores, all over this wonderful place we call Eden. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us in the first hour is going to be Dr. Peter McCullough, a hero of the American Re-Revolution for truth, for justice, for honesty, decency. You hear that sound? You hear that sound, son? That's freedom. I love to wake up to the sound of freedom in the morning. It sounds like victory. There's no greater victory than cavalry, and no greater cavalry than the Power Hour cavalry. We're forming our posse, and we're going back into the belly of the beast to take on this attack on the human race, the human species, using all the nefarious methods of propaganda that have ever been devised in human history, to vilify the good and sanctify the evil. And we're not going to put up with that. I've said for a long, long time that people in uniform, and generally we look at the police, the military, as being the people in uniform, that there is a code of honor that you have to wear that uniform after you swear certain oaths. And there's another uniform that we tend to forget. We take it for granted, like most things in life. And sometimes we may look at it as a lab coat or hospital blues that the doctor wears when they're treating you, saving you, and helping you through the most difficult times in your life, most likely. And whether you live or die will depend on their skills, their abilities, and their devotion to duty. That is an awesome task in this politically charged world today for the people who haven't been exactly the soldiers on the front line in uniform, but are now facing the greatest onslaughts against truth that have ever come our way. And we found some individuals who have honor, who take their oaths seriously, who are determined to give you the best, not only information, but treatments to save your life, and will not stand aside when evil raises its mantra. So we are very, very blessed to have on short notice today Dr. Peter McCullough, and he wants to do his own introduction to navigate through the minefield of the thought police, I guess, for lack of a better word. I just use quickly that maybe some of these institutions are universally known as Big Brother University and Brave New World College, for that's what many of them are turning into. But we welcome you, Dr. McCullough, and we thank you for giving us your time today to make the world a better place.
Well, I'm delighted to be on the show, and I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. I'm an internist and cardiologist. I maintain my board certifications in both specialties. I'm in practice in Dallas, Texas. I'm at a major academic medical center. I'm also a trained epidemiologist. I trained in epidemiology at the University of Michigan. And I've been very involved in the COVID-19 pandemic from the start. I've really dropped my career research work on heart and kidney disease to focus on COVID-19. I've done over now 18 months of dedicated study on it. I've published over 45 papers, an entire series of opinion editorials in The Hill on this topic, and I'm a regular contributor on Fox News and a lot of major media to really help Americans interpret the data as it comes in. And I've been pinpoint on citing the information and really trying to work against misinformation, or, as you pointed out, propaganda, which is false information put out by those in authority.
Oh, indeed, indeed. That was one of my last courses in university, so I know it well, and that was probably a big motivator to put me on track to be a better broadcaster, because they call a lot of media people spin doctors, and that's exactly their role, to spin you into a web, to catch you into a trap, to manipulate you and push you in a certain direction, and I abhor that. I believe the cards should be laid on the table face up, and I coined a little joke for what I do as a reverse spin doctor, to undo the damage that's been done to people, because generally it's very painful, very hurtful when they are exposed to lies. Some of my researchers send me many, many videos of people who have been hurt by this alleged vaccine, and to see people suffer horrible effects and just nonchalantly walk into basically a trap thinking that they're getting something that may be approved and safe and viable, and then have bitter, bitter results, some very quickly, some over a period of time. It brings tears to your eyes, especially many of the young mothers and such like that. So to stand on the right side of history, which this will be in time, is a duty and an honor as well. What is exactly this COVID-19? Because I've heard that it has never been isolated according to the Koch postulates, that they don't have a sample. The CDC only has a figment of something that they invented and patented that they think is, which generally doesn't sound much like science.
Well, my understanding is that SARS-CoV-2 is the virus. It has been genetically sequenced, so the entire genetic sequence of it is known. The RNA sequence is known. This issue of trying to isolate it as a singular entity, I think it's just a separate topic of discussion that's outside of my realm of expertise. But clearly, there are preclinical studies taking the virus or inoculates of the virus, inoculating human cells in the test tube. And clearly, the virus invades human cells. We know it enters through what's called the ACE2 receptor and another receptor called the TMPRSS2 receptor. There are probably over 200,000 papers in the peer-reviewed literature on the virus at this point in time. I think the real issues at hand are the themes of information that have come out and misinformation that's come out that's really led the entire world astray and taken a focus on sick people. People do get sick with this virus. The syndrome is COVID-19. And it's always been my viewpoint that our focus should be on immediately sick people. That should be nearly 100% of our focus. And what we've seen is a focus on everything else but the sick person sick with COVID-19.
So if you get some upper respiratory infection and you're brought to medical treatment, there are a host of many, many things that should and could be done for you that it appears are not, and that your symptoms are getting worse, almost to the point of death and including death. And all these treatments that have been done in the past are just basically neglected and thrown out the window because to get an emergency youth authorization, we can't have any other treatments. And that just makes me aghast, really, that as a former emergency person myself in the past, you do whatever you have to do with whatever you got to face whatever is there. And the object lesson is to save the life of an individual. And that's the victory. There is no victory in getting something to market. So what are they doing over this crisis? And what should have been done with tools that were in our inventory before?
Well, I can tell you what I've always done. So I mentioned I'm a practicing internist and cardiologist, and I'm also an academic physician. I'm the editor of two major journals. I have a big profile out in the world. I think I had searched recently. I have over 800,000 profiles that are kept on me across the world for different meetings. I've lectured at the National Academy of the New York Academy of Sciences, the National Institutes of Health, Harvard, you name it. I have over 600 publications in the peer-reviewed literature. I've had COVID-19 myself. I've had a fatality in my wife's family. So I think I'm actually as supremely qualified to opine on COVID-19 than anybody in the world, certainly more than any media doctor, and more than any government official. Not a single government official has the experience I just laid out for you. I'll tell you what I have done from the very beginning, and I would encourage each and every person listening and each and every doctor and health personnel listening to do as I do, okay? From the very beginning, high-risk people over age 50 with one or more medical problems, the risk of hospitalization and death are over 1%. That's enough to start doing something. Conversely, COVID-19 or this infection in those under age 50 and progressively younger, it's a progressively milder infection. And unless someone who's young has medical problems or presents with severe symptoms, they don't need any treatment. So that means about 25% of an adult medical practice would require some early treatment for COVID-19. And I can tell you, if no early treatment is offered, there is zero chance of preventing a hospitalization and death if it's going to happen. It makes sense. We must treat the infection early, and it always starts out as mild. So most people will say, Doc, I thought I had a mild case, and now I'm 2 weeks into it, and I can't breathe. So we usually have about a two-week head start that if patients would just realize, treat it early, even when it's mild, we can snuff it out. We can take a four-week illness, 2 weeks of viral shedding, and we can reduce it to a four-day head cold in at-risk patients. I just did this with a senior patient of mine. He had prior bypass surgery, heart blockages. I've managed him for years. He popped up with it. We jumped on it right away, and we instead of becoming a miserable two-week illness at home with no treatment and then another month in the hospital on the mechanical ventilator, we made this a four-day event. And it's a tragedy to see Americans and Canadians end up in the hospital on a ventilator. It's all preventable. So let me tell you how we do it. In the United States, we actually have monoclonal antibodies. We can actually make a phone call. Major ERs and clinics have monoclonal antibodies stocked. The U.S. government pre-purchased 500 million doses of these. And they're concealed from the public. You never see any public service announcements. Our government officials have never gotten on the TV and told Americans how to access these. We've pushed for 1-800 numbers and access points. None of it's provided. So we tell Americans, fight for these. Fight for these antibodies. I make a phone call, or even the local ER doctor can arrange it. Patients come into an outpatient treatment room. They get the infusion over an hour, observe for another hour, go home. President Trump received these, and we saw how he just breezed through COVID-19. So first and foremost, monoclonal antibodies. I think those are largely for people over 65, heart and lung disease, prior cancer, you know, where we know it's going to be a problem. How about less ill people but still over age 50 or younger people with medical problems? What do? Well, we can use in sequence. We use hydroxychloroquine, supported by over 250 studies. We use ivermectin, supported by over 65 clinical studies. We combine with doxycycline and azithromycin. That is early to try to reduce the viral replication. We treat inflammation by using inhaled steroids. Pulmicort, which is inhaled budesonide, supported by two randomized trials. We use oral steroids if there's pulmonary symptoms, wheezing or coughing. We use prednisone, commonly used in asthma and a whole variety of respiratory conditions, supported by a meta-analysis of over a dozen studies. We use colchicine, supported by a wonderful Canadian study called Co-Corona, the largest randomized trial ever done in COVID-19, strongly positive to reduce hospitalization and death. Colchicine, we use one tablet twice a day for 3 days and then 30 days thereafter. High-risk patients, we always worry about blood clotting. When the oxygen saturation goes down, your audience should know that's not the virus. That's blood clotting in the lungs. That's what drops the blood oxygen saturation on the fingertip. When you measure it, patients need blood thinners. Everybody should receive aspirin, 325 milligrams, full dose, for 30 days. People with heart blockages, 90 days. Those at higher risk, we put them on Lovenox injections or low molecular weight heparin. We can also use oral anticoagulants, but I think the injectables work better. 1 milligram per kilogram every 12 hours and do that through the course of the illness. Now, if it's very brief, the shortest course of illness is about 5 days for drugs in combination. Average person in their, let's say, 60s, 70s would be 10 days. Seniors in a nursing home, I've managed people up into their 90s, 30 days of treatment. It's a long illness, but it's treatable with using these drugs in combination. Sadly, when patients get to the hospital, they get virtually none of this. They get almost no treatment. The guidelines in the United States, the National Institutes of Health and the Infectious Disease Association of America do not recommend treatment. They don't recommend any treatment at home. Even if you go in the hospital, unless you need oxygen, no treatment. Patients are denied treatment for weeks unless they adopt the approach that I've outlined. Now, fortunately, I was the first to publish this treatment protocol in the American Journal of Medicine in August of 2020, follow-up in Reviews in Cardiovascular Medicine in December of 2020. These are the most frequently utilized protocols in the world. Matter of fact, they, in a sense, blow away the Infectious Disease Society of America and the National Institutes of Health, which recommend nothing. Nobody accepts that. And so they're widely used. Your listeners can go to Truth for Health Foundation, Truth for Health Foundation, and download the home treatment guide. Everything I said is in there. In the United States, still to this day, many American doctors are fearful or incompetent in treating COVID-19. So patients use national telemedicine services to get treatment ordered for them and receive early treatment. And as we sit here today, we're in a flare of the Delta variant, which blows right past the vaccines. The vaccines are now completely ineffective. We have lots of patients sick, and we're using and relying on these treatment protocols.
Oh, indeed, indeed. Something I was just looking at prior to the show was a report from the Mayo Clinic that the efficacy of this Pfizer vaccine has dropped to 42% now. So it's in a massive decline. Moderna's leading the list with 76 or something similar to that. And so, you know, we're given a tool, if it is a tool, that doesn't work and will not work in the long run. It's not there for the long haul. And it seems to be completely unnecessary because the protocols that you describe seem to be very efficient, very functional, rather inexpensive, and non-invasive on your body. And it just boggles the mind that so many people could be led into a dark chamber of nothing. It is, you know, we'd have to go back to the Elizabethan era or something like that to have a manner of physician like that. It boggles the mind. It really does. But to download this information, maybe repeat that again for people so that they can write it down or make a mental note of it, that you're going to have to arm yourself with information to give to any hospital staff or your personal doctor so that they're on board with you. And if not, get in touch with this telemedical group.
So the source of information is called Truth for Health Foundation. Truth for Health Foundation. You go on the internet. It's got a blue screen, you recognize it, and go to treatment protocols and download the home treatment guide. In the back of the treatment guide are the major telemedicine services. And I can tell you, in your U.S. audience, it'll be myfreedoctor.com, frontlinemds.com, speakwithmd.com, aflds.com, and FLCCC.net. It's all in that guide. People rely on these telemedicine services because I can tell you their local hospitals and doctors are offering nothing. And we've even told patients to, when they have their home medicines, and if they do get sick enough to go to the hospital, to bring their home medicines with them to the hospital because they will not be administered hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin in the hospital. And in the United States, it's become so extreme that patients are denied these valuable medicines in the hospital, and patients' families have gone to court. They've actually gone to court and demanded the hospital treat the patient appropriately, and the courts have sided with the patients and tell the doctors, treat them. So there is a dark wave of therapeutic nihilism going on, and the reason why there's been so many deaths is because the patients are not treated at home, and they're not treated intensively enough in the hospital, and even the courts agree.
Oh, that's very true. I had an emergency room physician from Canada on a while back, Dr. Frank Trozzi, and he just went on long-term sabbatical over this because 25 years emergency medicine, and he's told flat out, you know, not to do anything. And he said, how do I look someone in the eye and tell them I have no solutions when I know the solutions and they're in my medicine cabinet and I can apply them and heal you and make you better? And it just defies logic. It what also blew him away was colleagues that he's worked with for a long time just turn on him like he's a heretic for not following this political protocol that exists now, and he actually wants to heal and treat people. It's such a difficult task for people because these things come on to you in an emergency. You don't have time to look into all the details or maybe even to have a good person to represent you when you're in the hospital, to stand up for your rights. You could be in pain. You might not be able to function properly. And to be taken advantage of for whatever horrors they have in mind here is just reprehensible. But to be forearmed is forewarned. And by giving people this information here that you can have at your fingertips, you can also know when you're being led down a wrong trail, too, because if they don't support these protocols, they're in bad shape. I listened to Dr. Trump's doctor, Vladimir Zelenko, the other day, too, and he is very outspoken on this. And you can see the difference between someone who was healed quickly and positively compared to other people who are not. And the media almost took delight in the fact that President Trump went home quickly and that he healed. Well, wait a minute. It works. This what they did is working. Why aren't we discussing what Dr. Zelenko did to him? He put out protocols, too, on how to treat this, and he's teaching other physicians these protocols so that they can save lives. That's what it's all about. There's no politics in this game. When you're injured, when you're wounded, when you're in difficulty, it's just, you know, the fight for life. And to deprive people of the tools that they require to live is totally reprehensible to me. And I've lost a lot of faith in the medical profession overwhelmingly. And aside from a few golden individuals like yourself who rise up in the adversity and stand firm on their training, on science, on their devotion to duty, is, you know, very, very satisfying to at least save some segment of the profession. Now, I've heard, too, that many, many people already had antibodies to this. This didn't come out of, you know, Dr. Frankenstein's lab at a certain time or something. That's probably been in circulation for a long time, and many people have gone through it. And I remember one of the first readings on that is, you know, there were like 40% of people in a tested blood supply already had antibodies. And it would be, you know, foolish, I'm told, to give these vaccines to people who already have antibodies. Is that not true?
Yeah, that's true. Just to follow up on your comment about doctors, I can tell you, I walk into a major medical center every day, and I may be the one doctor out of thousands that has the courage to treat patients with COVID-19 and prevent hospitalization and death. And I do think it was a shortcoming of both the Trump and the Biden administrations. And I would throw in Trudeau and anybody else out there. They never recruited qualified doctors who knew how to treat COVID-19 in order to lead the pandemic response. And to this day, we see people on TV that have never seen a COVID patient. They've never treated a COVID patient. And they can't be qualified to opine about what to do in the pandemic.
Indeed, indeed. We're coming up to a commercial break. We'll see you on the other side. I'm George Fryan. Joining us, Dr. Peter McCullough. Glad to have you aboard.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Relieve stress and anxiety and create calmness in your life with Tranquil, available today at thepowermall.com. For a limited time, buy one Tranquil and receive the second one absolutely free. That's right, buy one Tranquil and receive the second absolutely free at thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hurry, supplies are limited.
It's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Welcome back, my friends. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us, Dr. Peter McCullough. So always have some great conversations when we're on the break. It's a shame sometimes we don't make, like, bumper comments to almost make a whole show out of some of these little things that we discuss. I did have a short clip that I wanted to play, and it's hard for Todd because he's got to manage everything with multiple shows and all that, so we have to schedule a time. And it's someone you knew in the movies and a governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he had something to say about freedom and where we're going with this. Can we play the clip, Todd?
And not just to think about, well, my freedom is being kind of disturbed here. No, screw your freedom, because with freedom comes obligations and responsibilities. We cannot just say, I have the right to do X, Y, and Z. When you affect other people,
so there you have it. You don't have the right to do what you need to do and what you want to do. And that's probably why the political infrastructure is so sordid right now, because you do have the right. You have the right to life and liberty, and that's being deprived of you, especially the most important one, the right to life. And when you cross into the threshold of any medical facility, you do not abrogate that right to life. And you use the best tools that are available. It's a fight. It's always been a fight. And you need physicians who are around who are prepared to fight for you. When I saw America's frontline doctors, I looked at so many of them, and I just go, wow. You know, wow. Would I ever like to line up at their door instead of taking potluck in an emergency somewhere else? And pray for these doctors. Pray for America. Pray for the sick. Pray for healing. Pray for a mass understanding that we can overcome this. We just have to have the tools at our disposal, and they're not being permitted in the hands of America's frontline doctors. You wanted to carry on, Peter, on where we left off at the break. Please do.
You know, I wanted to say that you said they're not being permitted. Your statement almost implies that doctors in hospitals want to treat patients and they're being stopped. I don't think that's the case. Doctors in hospitals right now, they have simply fallen under a spell. And the spell is what we call therapeutic nihilism. They are not offering full-throated, strong treatment regimens for this fatal illness. They're not, and that's the reason why people are dying. Everything is out of sequence. They're giving remdesivir, which is an antiviral drug that's highly toxic, far after the virus is gone. They're not fully anticoagulating patients. They're not giving proper doses of steroids. They're not using all the sequence drugs that we use in combination. There should be no dividing line between the outpatient setting and the inpatient setting. If hydroxychloroquine works wonderfully in the outpatient setting, of course it should be continued inpatient, strongly supported by studies in doing so. The same thing with ivermectin. Of course, with colchicine. I've mentioned steroids and anticoagulants. In fact, We use monoclonal antibodies in the United States, and you know if it's an outpatient in an ER, we can give it. But as soon as the patient crosses the line to the inpatient side, as soon as that designation is made in the computer, the patient can no longer receive a monoclonal antibody infusion. So we have these nonsensical barriers, and everything works against the patient. Everything works against the patient. There's nothing in the patient's favor when it comes to COVID-19. So we really have taken the care to the home. Patients get home pulse oximeters. They use home oxygen concentrators. We give medications at home. And we do everything we can to reduce the hospitalization and death because nothing good occurs in the hospital. Now, I wanted to pick up on the point of natural immunity. What happens when you get through COVID-19 and you're on the other side? Or what if you are naturally immune? We've always known about 15% of people cannot get COVID. So we have a family, let's say we have six people in a household with COVID. Two people are not going to get COVID, or one person is not going to get it. It's because they have natural immunity. There is cross-reactivity from other coronaviruses. Somebody could have had COVID in a mild case and not know it. And we know this. If a well-defined case, someone sick with a fever, nasal congestion, loss of taste and smell, positive PCR or positive antigen, I think the antigen tests are favorable because they actually do detect the real virus and not much less susceptible to false positives. So I think the antigen tests are better, and they're rapid. About 10 minutes, you get the test result back. If we have a well-defined case, there has never been a recurrence in the same person. Never. The only confusion that's out there is somebody having a false positive test on another occasion. So this whole claim that people get COVID over and over and over again, everyone keeps scratching their heads. You know, COVID swept through the nursing homes last year. It's not sweeping through the nursing homes again this year. The nursing homes are done. The same thing has occurred in individuals. One does not get COVID 17 times. I'll tell you, my dad in a nursing home had COVID and he was sick, but he intermittently tested positive for months afterwards. He was well. He had recovered, but he's still intermittently testing positive. Those are called false positive PCR tests. My dad didn't have COVID 17 times. He just had it once. And I want your listeners to know it's one and done. It's just like chickenpox. It's one and done. Do not be fooled by any misinformation making you think that you can get COVID over and over again. So COVID-recovered people, do they have any risks at all going out in public? No. Do they have to wear masks to protect themselves? No. Is there any reason for them to get a vaccine? Absolutely, under no circumstances should a COVID-recovered patient get a vaccine. Why? Three studies show the vaccines cause harm. They actually cause more side effects and damage, and we know we had a tremendous number of fatalities and injuries after the vaccine. The FDA and the Canadian authorities and the UK authorities and EMA, they all agreed. They excluded COVID-recovered patients, even patients with antibodies. They excluded them from the randomized trial. They knew they could be damaged from the vaccines. So I don't want anybody out there who has positive antibodies or who's just had COVID. Forget, if you've had COVID, you don't need any antibody checkup. But if you thought you had COVID and you weren't sure, get an antibody test or a T-detect test. And if those are positive, that group of people, under no circumstances, should receive the vaccine.
Indeed, indeed. And that's like going into a minefield for some of the effects. What are some of the side effects from this vaccine? And, you know, I've heard you speak before on the fact that you wouldn't recommend them anymore because of, you know, how dangerous they are.
Well, with the disturbing developments we talked about people being denied treatment and the governments not even mentioning treatment, not even making them available to individuals, we saw basically a plan, and the plan was to, through these actions, through these propagandized actions, through governments all over the world, to promote fear, isolation, suffering, and death, to, in a sense, prepare the world's population for mass vaccination. I got a distress call just on the break from Sri Lanka, where they're going to go door to door and start forcing the vaccine into people. I mean, this is going to happen all over the world. So there is a plan to force mass vaccination all over the world. And I don't think anybody really would put up that much resistance if the vaccines were both effective and safe. But they're not. And early on, like most other doctors, I was open to the vaccines. They came out of clinical trials. They're only studied after 2 months. They in the United States and Canada, they're brand new genetic gene transfer technologies, which are raising concern just by their mechanism of action. It's way different than getting a tetanus shot or a flu shot, that's for sure. These are brand new genetic technologies. They transfer genetic material into the human body. The human body produces the dangerous spike protein for about 2 weeks or more. There's some data suggesting it lasts in the body for months now. And then the body gets immune to COVID-19. That was the storyline. Coming out of the clinical trials, 90% effectiveness with Pfizer, Moderna, 70% with AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson. Okay. Patients get vaccinated. They volunteer for it. It's a voluntary program. As you can see, it's grown from being a voluntary program to being a forced program. And the data have come out worse and worse and worse. We're down to, as you pointed out, we are down to Israeli authorities declaring Pfizer at 17% effective. The Mayo Clinic declaring Pfizer at 42% effective and Moderna at 76% effective. These vaccines are very different, by the way. Moderna dose is way higher than the Pfizer dose, just for example. Now, the side effects. What do we know there? As we sit here today, through July 30th, 2021, the CDC is telling us 12,366 Americans have died after the vaccine. External analyses from McLachlan and Rose show 50% of the deaths occurred 48 hours, 80% of deaths occurred a week, 86% of the time there's no other explanation. So at the smoking gun at the scene of the crime is the vaccine, and we've had 12,366 Americans lose their lives. We've had now well over 200,000 hospitalization, urgent care visits, and office visits, and 545,337 injury reports. That's what we know right now. Many of these are permanent: cardiac injury, neurologic, immunologic, and blood system damage to the human body. So at this point in time, as a responsible doctor, I can no longer promote these vaccines. I can't suggest that they're effective. They're not safe, nor they're effective. And people are uncomfortable. 52% of Americans don't want the vaccine. The vaccine centers have been empty since April, and now it's being forced on them through employers and a variety of organizations.
Indeed, indeed. I saw that as the step along the trail to forced vaccination is, at first they'll use advertising and propaganda to trick you into it, pressure you into it, but then it'll come down to full-blown coercion, where there'll be conditions attached. And here in Canada, coercion is a criminal offense, and I'm sure it's a criminal offense in most states of the Union, if not all of them. I can pretty much take that for granted, that the authorities, elected authorities, political authorities, that business authorities, academic authorities are all trying to coerce you to do something that is basically causing self-harm in many, many instances, and we don't know the full long-term effects. Dr. Zelenko and the thing I watched on his briefing on this, it was just absolutely chilling. He was anticipating that overall, if this goes ahead, that there'd be 2 billion people will die from the effects of this, in his opinion. And that's just absolutely chilling. We're being forced to do this. It can't be for our will. I am a Christian. I do understand the mark of the beast system. And I've heard Dr. Madej talk about the technical side of things in these injections. And there's policy papers here in Canada to have bio-digital convergence to turn you into something you were never meant to be, and that this is part of the game plan. And that's something that, just sends shockwaves to me. A retired Ontario government statistician advises me on many things as well. He's a dual citizen from Baltimore. And, I just shake sometimes when he tells me things that he's found out. But he just has an analogy, like this is like a giant bowl of pills. And, some of them inside will kill you and a whole bunch more will make you sick. And maybe things won't happen with the vast majority of them. But, do you want to take one into your body and take the risk when the only surefire solution is not to take one at all? And that way you can live. I've also noticed, too, that all the drug companies are now making a new drug. Maybe not every one of them, but most of them. There's a big race to have these out by the end of the year. So in Science Daily, they had a title article, Potential Tapeworm Drug Found to Deal with the Variants. So basically it looks like they're almost duplicating or replicating or making a new, more expensive treatment that probably already existed, because some of the efficacy of these other drugs were antiparasiticals, and that they're coming to market with something new. Does that mean the vaccine wagon is starting to derail and they have a backup plan?
We've seen no updates. I think everyone should understand no government has presented to their population a report on safety. None. This should have been occurring every week. It should have been safety first. So our governments have committed malfeasance. That's wrongdoing by those in position of authority. They actually are promoting the vaccine. Our government authorities are promoting the vaccine. Our presidential administrations are promoting the vaccine without any regard to safety in the population. And now we find out they don't work. These are genetic transfer technologies. They appear to transfer genetic information to organs all through the body, the brain, the heart, elsewhere. The FDA is telling Americans, watch out. It gets transferred into the heart and damages the heart with myocarditis. It goes into the brain and it damages the brain, causing Guillain-Barré syndrome, causing blindness. The Canadian authorities have said it goes into the brain. It causes Bell's palsy. The FDA said it causes blood clotting in the brain and elsewhere. So our agencies are trying to speak to us. They're trying to tell us this is dangerous, but our overall propagandized program is pushing them on it. And you're right. The only way to stay healthy is at all costs reject these injections. They are not healthy for the human body. They're frankly dangerous. And everyone is concerned. People are at the point they're going to walk away from their jobs. They're going to take a break from school until this passes. And it may take several years for it to pass. But the only way to stay healthy now is to stay away from these vaccines. I am seeing these injuries in my office, and they are atrocious. And they appear to be irretrievable, particularly the cardiac and neurologic injury that comes with the vaccine.
Well, that's my big issue. I've had heart attacks, and I just had to look at my family doctor's face when she read my report when I got out of the hospital. That was scary enough. The heart attacks didn't bother me at all. But watching her turn green was like, oh, boy, I got a lot of work on my hands now. But the good Lord saved me, and he's going to save us, too. One of the nasty things, too, where there's this pressure, I came across a financial article that was more in tune for our second hour, but the IMF and Biden are making a move to a global currency by creating liquidity by using special drawing rights offers, $650 billion. And this $650 billion is to induce nations. You want access to this cash, you vaccinate your people. And they always say you follow the money trail and it leads you somewhere, usually to one form or hell or another. So these special drawing rights are available to nations who will follow the yellow brick road to hell. And we just have to say no. Like, it's your life. You can always go to school later. And you have to break, as part of reacting in basically the simulation of the law of the jungle, is when the predator comes, if you can't fight the predator, you better get out of the way. And just let it pass, lie low, climb a tree, dig a hole, swim across a lake, whatever you have to do to get away from it. This is your time. It's bug out time. And your job isn't worth your life because you're only going to have the job for a very short period of time. And I've heard about people who have taken it for employment and they're dead or severely injured forever. You're never going to get better. We played a clip of a chap who got this Guillain-Barré syndrome and what happened to him after he tried to get this jab to apply for a job. Doesn't mean anything. What means anything is that you're alive, you're breathing, you're healthy, you're well, and that you're going to survive this. And the more they pressure you, just tells you it's worse than you ever thought. It's your worst nightmare on steroids. I look at it as almost biblical. You'd have to go back to Noah maybe for what we're going to see coming down the trail, except for the survivors who say no. And if they have to go door to door, I've watched in Israel, in the UK, where they're coming and taking your children from you if you refuse to vaccinate. You get a raid in the middle of the night, they haul your kids away, kicking and screaming. And this is like the horrors of the Soviet Union. And I'll add something, I was going to do something completely different today, but fortunately Dr. McCullough was available to us, and I could just sum it up and save myself 30 minutes speaking about it. But there's a company called Entrust. Entrust does the Covapass. They got the contract in the UK. They have contracts with the Department of State, the U.S. Coast Guard, and many other American organizations, Canada as well. Entrust is owned by a German family called the Quants. You don't know them, but you know their car. They own BMW. And then I only have to go down the family tree to one woman named Magda Quant. Never heard of her, I'm sure most of you. Magda Quant married Joseph Goebbels, Nazi Germany's propaganda minister. Now you probably understand the propaganda war we're in. It's in the blood. Their family mastery. Adolf Hitler was the best man at their wedding. They will control your access to any place you go, any plane you get on, any frontier you cross. So that old analogy of the German guy going, Papas, Papas, please, is very, very true. And that organization is infested deeply into the State Department and the United States Coast Guard, an arm of the American military. Sieg Heil to you. Did we lose World War II? It appears so at this point. We have to stand firm on this. This is our war. This is our battle. It's fought on a microscopic level with little germs and the treatment for those little germs. But everything is at stake, depending on what we do here and now. And where we are so blessed is on the front lines, in the emergency rooms, in the hospitals, there are doctors like Dr. McCullough who will stand firm on a point of honor, on fact-based medicine, and not give in. They're rare, very rare. I've known that when I was a policeman. Sometimes when it's flying, you're the only one standing there and everybody else ran away. And that's where you have to know that you took an oath. You're wearing the uniform. You got to do what's got to be done. And the primary thing is to save lives. And you'll catch hell for it later, maybe. But you have the satisfaction of knowing you can look at yourself in the mirror. And Dr. McCullough is one of those doctors. And hopefully there's a long list more with his protocols being picked up by other people. Because the show goes around the world on Global Shortwave later to the poorest nations in the world. And many physicians all over the world may hear that, including in Sri Lanka on shortwave tomorrow morning. Do you have anything you'd like to add for getting close to our close-up, Dr. McCullough?
My final comment, since you mentioned it so many times, is I realize there's no checkbox on the application to medical school for courage and for independent thinking and commitment to principles. But I can tell you, as I walk through the hospital every day, my colleagues are afraid to look at me in the eye. They know they're wrong. They're ashamed of themselves. They're in a trance right now, and they know what they're doing is wrong. By not treating COVID-19 patients and forcing an unsafe vaccine on their patients and on their coworkers, they are committing a crime against humanity, and they know it. And we can only hope for the long arm of justice to bring final resolution to this crisis. This crisis is self-created. If we just would have treated the problem, focused on sick people, left everyone else alone, and never brought out these vaccines, this problem would have been solved. If we would have had leaders with guts directing the operations instead of people who are basically cowards and then have no sense of integrity, have never faced the virus themselves, and are heartless in terms of offering compassionate care to patients, we need to get these people out of power. We need to drop all of this. No vaccine mandates, no lockdowns. Just treat sick patients with multiple drugs in combination at home, hospitalized and treat even more intensively in the hospital, and close down the vaccine program. That is the only way out of this disaster that we've created for ourselves. And all the governments are colluding with one another for some unclear reason to bring misery on the world that doesn't need to happen.
Indeed, indeed. I know on the break you were mentioning, too, about horse ivermectin. I know a radio host in Toronto ordered some of that. And is that something that individuals can or should be aware of?
I can't give medical advice on the radio regarding this because that's a veterinary product. But I can tell you, veterinarians and those of you who own horses and animals and pets have administered ivermectin. And I can tell you medicinally, it's the same product. Now, doses that were used to treat COVID-19 for ivermectin are typically 0.2, 0.4, 0.6 milligrams per kilogram. So an average person, that would come out to be about 18 milligrams a day or every other day for a few days. But I can't give advice on the radio to tell people to go buy veterinary ivermectin, but I can tell you I know medicinally it's the same product, the same ingredients are there.
Well, that's a good thing to know, just in case you're stranded in some remote place with no horse to get you to the hospital. You can share medicine. But this is a war. This is a war against the human soul, the human mind, the human everything. And I look at it as biblical in proportion that we're leaving the era of flesh and blood and going into the era of circuits and chips as we're being digitized. Something, I don't know if you've ever heard it, but I should send it to you, is the Prime Minister of Great Britain speaking at the United Nations in 2019 is just absolutely chilling on how artificial intelligence is pretty much taking over the world. They have absolutely no way to stop it or prevent it, and the best solution they found was to cooperate and try to get at the front of the pack for financial reasons. It is just a chilling, chilling statement from a major head of state that sends shivers through your spine. I just, you know, his voice still echoes in my head. I played the whole clip. It's about 22 minutes long on this station to just show you that there is something that has control of our leaders that makes them extremely fearful, and they have no courage. They have no moral background. Those days are long gone. We think of the World War II generation with great leaders standing up to adversity. I don't even know if there's any of them really left. The couple of few who did stand up, there's two African leaders who were most likely assassinated. One was, I believe, the president of Tanzania. He's the guy who sent back the COVID tests with all kinds of bizarre things like papaya and chemicals and such, because he was a professor of chemistry. He died, but he died for his people, and that's why I love him, and that's why we all have to stick together, those of us who are going to be on the right side of history. It's a new war. We're divided. There's the for and the against, and we're against. And we are very, very blessed and honored to have Dr. McCullough with us, and the world is blessed by a fine physician who stands firm, and that's Texas.
Okay. Well, what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.